not sin. Reads, says the guy who, every week we have a multitude of, listen, this applies to me. Have I ever hurt your feelings? If I haven't, you're new here. That's all I can say. Now, have I ever tried to hurt your feelings? I promise you, I have not. Sometimes the word is provocative, and sometimes it's going to speak to us where we're living, and we shouldn't be there. I always say, if I'm stepping on your toes, perhaps you need to move your toes. But I don't want to be provocative. I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm trying to teach the Bible. But sometimes I'll say something, and I'll say it exactly wrong, or I'll say it in a harmful manner. Now listen, maybe this has never happened to you. Have you ever been misunderstood? Have you ever said something, and by the other person's reaction, what did I say? And you, has it ever happened in your marriage? I'm sure it happened. I'm the only one, I'm sure of that, right? I get this backlash, and I'm like, what? What did I say that? Well, you just said that, yeah, but I meant, and we walk it back, and I try to show her that, no, what you're saying that I said, I didn't actually mean that. I was trying to. Is that, and by the way, I'm not trying to throw her under the bus because I've done the same thing. She said something, and I, well, what are you saying? And has that ever happened? Has it ever happened while I'm teaching the word? I'm sure it has. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Even when you're trying your best not to say the wrong thing. There is, Proverbs 12:18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Have I ever said words are nuclear? You've heard me say that. No, we say them and they just evaporate. They're gone. Unless you've collected them on some sort of recording, we say them and that's it. Oh no, they're eternal. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. I think we can all think of something someone said to us that if we think about it, it still hurts. They were so cruel and they were so thoughtless and ouch. Wait, really? Did you really mean to wound me like that? Someone, a parent said decades ago and we're still smarting over it. Now, by the way, the answer is forgive. Mom and dad, they tried. They're not perfect, okay? And I think of the same thing, you know, when I think about me. Have I said things to my boys that, like, oof, I could walk that back? Nothing that I'm aware of, but it's not a question of my awareness. It's a question of their awareness. Are they still carrying something that I was very harsh? You know, I was trying to reprimand or something, but you knucklehead, you worthless, you're never going to amount to any. I don't think I talk like that, but maybe I said something, or maybe they took it that way. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. But the tongue of the wise is health. Have you ever said that right thing that really helped, that was like a bomb that somebody just said, oh, thank you, Lord, that you spoke, and it was a message to them that they needed to hear that really was very, very healing? I trust that's happened here. If it hasn't happened here and you're listening to somebody else, listen, by the way, you say, I listened to David Guzik the other day. I love David Guzik or Joe Foscher. I don't feel like you're two-timing me, okay? It's really fine that you listen to other people besides me. I think about, like, I watch, like, what was that, Little House on the Prairie, and that, what was it, Reverend Alden or something like that, and he went all that special, but that's all you got. Unless you got books or something, you ain't going to turn on TBN or you ain't going to watch a YouTube video. You weren't listening to David Guzik, okay? So all you had was what you had. Now we're in a different age, and you're listening to a lot of people, and I'm thinking if they're good people and you're hearing that, praise God. Am I jealous? No, not at all. I don't feel like you're stepping out on me. If anyone's speaking healing into your life, thank God. Proverbs 13:3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. And I've always said, listen, don't say the first thing you say, think about. Say the second thing you think about. If we just spoke and we had no filter, and as soon as it occurred to us, it found instant vocal expression, none of us would be married and would all have no friends. I'm sure if that's true of me. You got to throttle back a little bit, think it through, pray maybe. I say this, when you before you press send on your, you know, you write this inflammatory, somebody said something about said something to you on Facebook and you're ready to, now we're putting our anger and our agita in, now we're writing it, we're putting it in print, and then we're pressing send. Yeah, pray, okay, before you. And maybe it's the right thing. It's not if it's inflammatory, though. Proverbs 16:24 said, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Amen to that. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. If I could just walk back some of those things, and it got me into so much trouble. I wish I didn't say that, but I said it. Now, you're saying, oh, that's wonderful, Proverbs. New Testament, too. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Gossip, would that be corrupt communication? Well, not if it's true. If it's true, it's still gossip. Gossip doesn't mean you're lying about somebody. It means you're telling somebody somebody's dirty laundry that doesn't need to know. We don't, I call people on that. You know, like someone say, well, this one said this and this and this, and I'll say, oh, well, what did they say when you told them? You know, somebody's got a fault, you go to them and you talk to them and you say, hey, you know what you said or what you did or what? You're line one. Do I have to know stuff? Because once I know it, I know it. Do you have to bring everything to me? Judge for yourselves. Let's say we have a church official and they're involved in like some sort of, they've absconded with the funds from an organization to the tune of $1 million. Should I find out about that? I'd rather find it out from you before I read it in the police blotter. Yeah, I should know about that. But I mean, you know, that's not what we're talking about generally, you know that? We're talking about, you know, just gossip and innuendo and stuff. And I will say that it's not a big thing here because I often warn about it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Edifying is not a word we use all the time. What is edifying? What's an edifice? It's a building. What is edifying? Building up. Were you saying, is that building up? That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grace is an operative word when we're talking. Let your speech, in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And finally, Romans 10:9-10. I can do this all day. And you know I can, because the Bible says a lot about our speech. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, what are we going to do? What? Confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Two things. You can believe in your heart. We all say that all the time. And confess with your mouth. That's what the verse says. Why do we have to do both? For with the heart man believeth, resulting in or unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made, resulting in or unto salvation. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, the scripture says. So there's a few verses. Now let's look at what James has to add to our wealth of knowledge about the tongue. My brethren, be not many masters. What are we talking about? Slavery, masters? No, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Say, well, I'm not a teacher. You are. I know. And this verse means a lot. Now, if you are doing teaching, and by the way, everyone should. Everyone should. You should have a group of. I'm a lady. I can't be a preacher. No, but you can invite some ladies over your house and have a Bible study, and you know, go over a few things together. And you can look at any book in the Bible. There's none that are objectionable. If I found that you were studying something that I had already taught on, you think I'd be. Well, I taught on that. What are you studying that? I'd be so happy that you had a group of people together studying. I think that was wonderful. Everyone, I think, should be doing that. You say, I'm not really teacher, well, it could be very round table. You can just look at some scripture and talk about it. And then you're not, if you're not the teacher, you're not, this isn't, doesn't apply to you. But knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. I wonder if anyone ever, I wonder if you think, have I ever said anything from this pulpit that was true, but I wasn't living it at the time? If you said, no, Adam, I think you are 100% just the man of God, and you're all, everything you say is, you're obviously living that out as a perfect example. I'm laughing at how naive you are. To be sure, I try to do that, but have I ever said, like, listen, I know what this is saying, and I'm getting there, I'm trying, but this is not my long suit. Have I ever said something like that? Of course I do. I try to be very transparent. I don't want to ever, you know, parade myself as the hero. I've got all this down. That's why I'm teaching it. But this verse tells me that I can't say to you, do one thing while I do another thing. I can't say to you, like, you know, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Me, I just take it and toss it out. I don't actually obey it. I just listen to it. I'm able to tell you what it says, but I don't lift a finger to move those burdens that I place on you. I don't want to be like that. But anyone who teaches the word, and God has ordained this, that imperfect vessels are going to take his perfect word and expound it to imperfect hearers. The problem isn't the word. The problem is the hearers, and the problem is those who deliver are both not what they ought to be. Praise God, this word has its effect. But again, I don't want to be have a greater condemnation, but that's what it says. Put it this way, a stricter judgment. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I don't run from it like, well, I ain't teaching then, God. That's a very strict judgment, a disobedience to God, so I don't want to go there either. But I know what this verse says, and I live with it. For in many things we offend all. And if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Perfect means complete, mature. And we'll see that as we go on. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. It gives us two examples. First one is a horse with a bit. A bridle. You can steer a horse. It's a big animal. Anyone here ever rode a horse? Anyone here ever didn't ride a horse? Really? I'm going to take you horseback riding. What a fun time. They usually just take you down through the, you know, a little, just stepping along kind of thing. That's fun. That's good. And I you know, Suze took me once for my birthday years ago. I did one time in Boston while I was a little kid, and I liked it well. Suze took me for my birthday. It was me and her, and the girl was someone from my youth group years before that, and it was kind of nice. It was pleasant, and we're doing this, you know, walking down through the woods, and she's want a canter, and like, I don't know, you know, is that like a Jewish canter, or like a guy who sings, I don't know. It's like this trot, and it's not fun because you're kind of bouncing in the saddle. It's not really pleasant. And she says, you want to gallop? And before Suze could say anything, I said, yeah. And so her horse takes off across, and so our horses are in. Now, galloping is so, I think galloping is wonderful. You can get very, very hurt if you don't know what you're doing. But we're galloping, and you're kind of down in the saddle, and you're moving with the animal. It's kind of like God created these animals for you to ride, and it's so wonderful. It's so like hand in glove, and I just thought that was, I laughed out loud. It was so mirthful. Is that a word even? I was so, it's so pleasant. And I get this little tiny and a steering wheel, and that's a big animal. Listen, 220 pounds. If you can carry me on your back, you're a yes, sir. You're a big animal. I tell you that right now. But you can just move them right around. And he's saying, well, that's he's not talking about horseback riding. He's talking about we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. And we turn about the whole body. Now, he's going somewhere with this. Behold also the ships, which, though they be great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now, we take a walk down Belfast sometimes, there's a trail, and you park out on, it used to be a railroad bed, and you can walk right down into town. I don't know if you ever took that. And there's ice cream place right there when you get into town, which is kind of like, we both know we're going there and stuff. And anyway, so we do that, and we come back, and there's a shipyard. It's dry dock, and there's always some boats in, some of them yachts, and some of them very big ships. And if you look at the rudder, it's big-ish, but when you look at it and compared to the whole boat, it's just a little, and it moves the whole thing. It's kind of, you know, wow, this little tiny rudder steers the whole ship. And that's what he's saying here. The bit's a small thing. The rudder's a small thing. Okay, and he says, this is analogous. Even so, the tongue, it's a little member. That's one of the smallest parts of your body. I mean, it's not as big as your shoulders, right? It's not as big as your head. It's inside of your head. It's not. It's small, right? Oh, some people have a very, very big mouth, as we say. No, I'm not accusing anybody. I'm not saying anything like that, but you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Tongue small, and it boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now, when I was listening to Chuck Missler, and I remember the story too, I ain't going to tell it, but there was three newspaper men in Denver in 1800s, and they were sent to the airport to get train station, get a story, and visiting dignitary or whatever, and they were all coming up empty, and they wrote for three different papers, and so one of them, after a few beers, says, hey, I'm going to make up a story, and that won't be, you know, easily debunked, and so they said that they ran into some engineers who were on their way to Peking to dismantle the Great Wall of China, and it ran in three different newspapers, and it was total prefab. It was a bear. Let's tell. We don't go back to city desk editor and tell them we got nothing. Ran in three different papers, dismantling the Great Wall, and it picked up on the east and went right across the world, even to China, where they took it with great indignance that the United States was sending people to dismantle the Great Wall. And it led to the Boxer Rebellion. True story. Look it up. Thousands of people killed, missionaries, because they see there was it was this time during colonialism. They felt like missionaries. They're turning people from being Chinese by turning to this Eastern, this Western religion stuff. So they purged a lot of missionaries from England, from other places, Scotland, from America. People were killed. I mean, to death. And what happened? Oh, it's a slow night. I got a great idea. And so when the Bible says, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, you know, abortion is promoted through the tongue. And when I say tongue, too, I'm going to expand. I want to use that. It's not just what you say. It's also what you write or post or, right? When the Bible says he that spareth the rod hateth his son. So you have a rod at home, 6 foot rod, and you take that to your son, beat him right with an inch. Then you really love him. Or is it talking about when we're talking about the rod? Are we talking about the rod of discipline? And whether you use a little ping pong paddle or a stir stick, paint stir stick, or your hand on a well pampered backside or something, because we're never talking about abuse, are we? And I always think, like, if you got a 12-year-old girl and you're spanking her, that's a fail right there. Can we say rod is, can we expand that to talk about discipline? I think we can. Does a 12-year-old girl need to be disciplined? I would suggest very probably so. And early on, if you've done your job, less and less by the time they're 12. And we're not talking about spankings now when you're 12. We're talking about, you know, taking away privileges or things like that. And we're talking about the rod of correction, right? Can we say the same thing when we're talking about the tongue here? You didn't say it audibly, You said it in a post, or you said it by not saying it. Have you ever said, felt like I should? I'm got to. I have to say something here. I've got to. You've got to hear this, and that's all there is to it. I love you so much. I can't just not say anything. Or how about just like a look, a rolling of the eyes? Have you ever started a fight, married people, by rolling your eyes? Or again, is that just me? I keep poking. Someone's going to go be sleeping on a couch and I call me up. Yeah, thanks, buddy. No, I'm just saying that we got to watch for that stuff. The way we say things and our tone is so important. And then, like, making sure that we communicate in such a way that we're both on the same page, that nobody's coming away with any misunderstandings or anything like that. It's communication is what we're talking about, not just speech, not just saying. And behold how great a matter, a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. Small, but big things can come from it. Again, words are nuclear. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what's wrong with your heart? Well, besides the fact that it's deceitful above all else and desperately wicked, who can know it? Nothing. Nothing at all. But what we say comes out of our heart, and our hearts are evil. That's why we have to watch it. Why did God make it so easy to say the wrong thing? In the beginning was the Word, John chapter 1, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and we know all this stuff. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the Logos, the Word, the expression. I want you to understand something about me, God says. And here's Jesus, the Word in flesh. Now we know a lot more about God than we used to know. The religious people of the day. You're sitting here eating with sinners? Are you kidding me right now? What kind of rabbi are you anyway? You know what your problem is? You don't know what God is like. Here's God in the flesh with crumbs in his beard. I don't know what God is like, huh? Did he come to tell us what God is like? No, he came to save the world. But among other things, yeah, this is God manifest, the Word. This is what's in here, God said. I'm speaking it out through my Son. You want to know what I'm like? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Do we understand anything about God? Okay. Oh, the tongue's a fire. It's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body. It setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of bird and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed by mankind. You ever see one of these shows got an orca, killer whale, and some lady's riding on it or something like that? And it's like, wow. And you get it jumping out of, in SeaWorld or something like this, right? And jumping out through a hoop and crazy. It's an orca. It can eat people very easy. They call it a killer whale for a reason. Every kind of beast and a bird and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. You've seen a dancing bear. You've seen a elephant doing a balancing act on Ed Sullivan. It's crazy stuff what we can do. But the tongue can no man tame. Listen, you tame an elephant to balance on one foot. Crazy, that's great. Can you tame your tongue? I never seen that on Ed Sullivan, okay? I'm just saying, okay? But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Well, you get any shot at this then? We got no hope. We can't tame our tongue. No, he's telling us. He's not just saying, talking about a hopeless situation, okay? Otherwise, what's this in scripture for? Hey, here's a hopeless situation. So sad, too bad. You got a tongue, you're a sinner. That's all you need to know. Have you ever said anything that's really blessed somebody? Keep doing that. He's talking about, you know, it's bad and you really got to watch it. And he's talking in, I would say, hyperbolic language. Your tongue's never set anything on fire, literally, but, well, yeah, it has. And when we talk in an analogous kind of way. No one can fully tame it. It's unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore, bless we God, even the Father, and therefore curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Oh, praise you, God, and we curse people. And those people, by the way, of the world that God so loved, and they're made in God's image. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. And if he's telling us they ought not to be, he's obviously not talking about something that's going to happen. He's talking about something that we got skin in this game. We can affect the outcome. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Reminds me of the rhyme of the ancient mariner, the most famous line, water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. Speaking of a guy who's like on a life preserve in the middle of the ocean, slowly dying of thirst. What are you dying of thirst? There's water everywhere. You can't even have one drop of it. Imagine, you know, and how hard that would be. And also how ironic. Is there a difference between sweet water and bitter? Is there a difference between salt water and fresh? Yeah, a little bit of a difference, right? You ever see that show Alone? I talk about it from time to time. They got to get water and they got to boil it. There's this thing called Giardia, and you can die of it. You get very, very sick. So they have to boil the water because there's amoebas and bacteria and there's things in it that wouldn't be very pleasant if you drank them. Fresh water and bitter. Can the fig tree, my brethren, and he's talking about this like a mouth, like a fountain. You turn the fountain on, has it got bitter water, has it got sweet water? It matters, right? You go to one of these villages in Africa and stuff, and in the center of the village is what? A well. Hopefully fresh water, right? It matters. The pride of the whole village, by the way. Does the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? I was just thinking earlier, I was at a place in Presque Isle. I was working there for a summer, and a guy invited me to his house. He's a Christian guy, and he had like coins of like a widow's mite, no, a real one, and different things. Like, this is probably one of the pieces of silver that, not one of the, but this type is one of the, like, the pieces of silver that Judas got from, and this is a denarius, and he had all these, and because he's a Christian man, he invited me over to his house, and I was looking at all these, I said, wow, would you like a cup of water? It was like 110 that day. I said, yeah, I'd love one, right? And he went to the refrigerator and got this water. It was undrinkable. Now, he's just sitting there guzzling it and just like, and it had a smell to it and an odor that I think if you live there and drink it all the time, you wouldn't notice it. You ever have supposed to be fresh water and has taste to it or a tang or something? You're thinking, ugh, this is horrible. I hate that. Water's supposed to not have taste, okay? Now, if you buy that water with the flavor in it, that like soda water with like cranberry lime, that's fine. That essence, that's good because they want it to have that. But if you're trying, like, if you turn on the faucet and you're tasting chlorine and fluoride and that's just nasty. But anyway, that's what he's talking about. We can't bless God and curse man with the same mouth. Out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. Don't you realize even in nature there's a fountain send forth at the same place, sweet water and bitter. And we're losing our testimony. People look and say, oh yeah, he's praising the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And now he's cursing like a truck driver, or he's saying bad things about people, or he's, you know, throwing people under the bus, or he's, you know, stirring the pot, or any of the all these things that we do that we shouldn't be doing. And we're ruining our testimony the whole time. Can the fig tree, my brethren, now he's going to take it into trees. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? No, it's a fig tree. Either a vine, figs. No, it's grapes grow on a vine. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? That's the point. Now, okay, Adam, you convicted me, thank you, but now what? I was going to teach this in two halves, but then I thought I'd be doing a terrible injustice because the second half of it gives us the answer to the conundrum introduced in the first half. We have a quandary. Your heart is bad, and what comes out of it, it finds expression out of your mouth. And he just said, I don't want you cursing and blessing God with the same mouth. I don't want you to, yeah, I want you to heal. I don't want you to wound. Where is it? I think it was one of the verses I read earlier. It talks about like piercings. The tongue, like, and it's not talking about piercings in your tongue. It's talking about how you take your tongue and you can stab somebody to death with it just by the things you say, the venom that comes out of it. Now he's going to give us the answer. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of his good conversation his works and meekness of wisdom. Now, it loans itself to where we're going with this, but conversation, frankly, doesn't mean conversation. It means manner of life, which would, in part, be your conversation. Okay, so it's still, it's going to serve our purpose. We're talking about wise people endued with knowledge among you. I always wondered why wise guy and wise man are opposites. Man and guy are the same thing. If I called you a wise guy, if I called you a wise man, I'd be saying opposite things. And English is kind of a weird thing. You know, we park in the driveway and we drive on the parkway. English is a weird, and the reason I'm saying this, because we're trying to communicate something with English. And when I say something, and what you take it as, when I verbalize something, how you hear it through your filter, it may or may not be the same thing. So I've got to wisen up. I've got to say it in such a way that the chances of you not getting it properly are nil to very likely, very close to nil. You see what I'm saying? It amazes me. I've talked with people and they will say something like, they'll quote me, "I never said that. I didn't even think that. I didn't mean that." And they quote me and they're throwing my words back at me. Now, it works in both directions because I've had people say to me, "You know, when you said," and they'll say something that I said that really, really blessed them. And I'll say, "Huh, that's good. I never said that. I didn't even think that. It's good. I'm going to add it to my next time I'm through this section. I'm going to use it." But I didn't. That was wonderful that I didn't say. So it works in both directions. People accuse me of saying things that I didn't say, and then they are blessed by things that I said that I didn't say. So, and it goes with the territory, okay? And I'm okay with that. I figure like I'm in the neighborhood, and God wanted to say this thing, and I'm just as close as I'm going to get, and the Holy Spirit builds a bridge to what I should be saying probably, or saying to that person, or they take something that I said, and they mean it in a way better than I thought. So like I say, it works in both directions. I get accused, and I get praised, and I don't deserve either one. don't praise because I didn't really say that, and I don't know why you're thanking me, but don't accuse because I didn't say that, and I don't know why you're accusing me, you know what I mean? So you can never come up and say anything to me. No, I didn't say that, but it's funny to me, like, what people hear. And I really want to be very careful about that. You will be offended by the word of God. You absolutely, positively will be. Or is it just me? I get offended by the word of God, at least on a weekly basis. Why should I just be the only miserable one around here? And I'm thanking God when he steps on my toes and says, "Adam, you know, love you, but this ain't good in your life. I want you to work on this." Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Does it hurt my feelings? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes. Has Suze ever said anything to me? Yeah. Does she have a right to? Yes. I give her that right to speak into my life, good and bad. You can give me a pat on the back and attaboy. You can say, you got to work on, she's very judicious when she wants to infuse any criticism, whatever. She can say it in the wrong way and just lose me. Then I get it, the walls go up, I'm very defensive, and then I start, what, now I want to attack something of her, right? I want to, which is very, very helpful, by the way. But she'll say, like, you know, now I love you, but, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, here it comes. But she does love me. And then when she says something, and it's, and I'll say, no. If I'm wearing my big boy pants, if I'm being mature, I'll say, no, you're right. That's right. I got to work on that. That's correct. And she'll say something like, well, you say this, but how about this? Because she knows at home, she knows who I really am. And I'll say, yeah, that's important. That's good. I'm glad. You talk about wisdom. I'm married to someone who is really, really sagacious. Why? Where does wisdom come from? What's the beginning of wisdom, if I put it that way? Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. She's a God-fearing woman. How do you grow in wisdom? Grow in knowledge of the Word of God. She knows the Bible. She's not one who just takes it and passes it out to everybody. She takes it right into her heart first, and she may share it with friends who she thinks need it, like me. She's very sagacious because she loves the Lord and she wants to grow close to the Lord, and wisdom happens. Whoso is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of his good conscience conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. What is he talking about? Don't have your own agenda. You'll come up with the right answers. He say that too later on in chapter 5 about, you know, plans. We're going to go, oh no, it's in the end of chapter 4. Go look at verse 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue the year and buy and sell and get gain. He don't even know what tomorrow is going to bring. It's not talking against plans. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's talking about an attitude that puts God first. When we have our own agenda, bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, because you know what's happening. We're lying against the truth. Is everything we're saying going to come out right and healing? No, it's going to be very anti-truth. You can't lie somebody into the kingdom. You can't lie and God will bless it to further their cause as far as their spirituality. This wisdom, and he's putting in quotations there, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, devilish. We have this thing called earthly wisdom. It's very, like, I'll give you some Bible examples. Saul, when he's trying to give David his battle armor, he's going against Goliath. Hey, you're going to need this. Seemed right. Seemed like, okay, you care about the kid at least enough to give him a sword and a shield. David's like, I can't. He couldn't even go. He couldn't walk around. Saul, he's like a 7-footer, right? He's head and shoulders above the rest of Israel. And here's a 15-year-old snot-nosed kid. He's not 7-foot, right? He's trying to wear this battle armor and go forth. And it was worldly wisdom. It wasn't evil. It wasn't bad. It was just, wasn't what God had in mind, right? But the wisdom, this bitter envying, strife in your hearts, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And it's not saying, how do we get wisdom? Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and then we grow in wisdom when we grow in the Lord, and he speaks things into our heart. And then, if you don't know something, we can ask. Remember that back in James chapter 1? If any man among you lacks what? Wisdom, let him ask of God. Will God give it to you? Yeah. Sometimes he's the only one who can. So he will supernaturally endow you with the solution to the problem. And I told you, it's column A, column B, right? And this is all the pros, this is all the cons, and the longer, that's where we go with, right? No, we go with what God said. And sometimes that doesn't seem like common sense at all. It wasn't common sense for this little squirt to go out against this 9.5-foot monster. That wasn't the common sense approach. It was the faith approach. And faith and common sense, sometimes they overlap. Very often they don't. This wisdom, it descends. It doesn't come from God. It's earthly, sensual, devilish. Have you ever looked at Facebook? For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now, strife. There are those who want to divide America and put us in a constant state of strife. And by the way, as long as I've been around, I've noticed this. There's rich, there's poor, there's black, there's white, there's men and women. And what we want to do is we want to pit these against each other. Class warfare, there's racial things, there's gender things, there's political things. And we want to set this group against this group. World War II, when we came out of World War II, and I was not alive then, okay? A friend of mine asked me if I had served in World War I. I think that's more of a statement of public schools in Maine. I'd like to think so, okay, than how old I look, right? Adam the Doughboy, World War I. Okay. After World War II, and we lived in, we grew up, and there was a lot of World War II veterans around, and, anti-Semitism wasn't a thing after World War II. Let me just tell you, okay? If you were around then, you would remember it, but if you're just younger, and you're thinking, you see what's going on in colleges, you're thinking, yeah, well, that's okay, but no. After World War II, we'd gone through a national... We were all in this together. Pearl Harbor happened. There was a call to war, and we were all in this together. There were still Republicans, and there were still Democrats. There were still rich and poor. There were still black and white. There were still male and female. But we were all going through this cauldron fighting imperialism together, and it brought the country. Do we need another world war, like World War III? I hope not. But our enemies, they try to divide. And what do they use? They use the tongue, and then they use this worldly wisdom. And this is their playbook. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Does God want us to be in unity? He wants the church to be in unity. Does he want us to be in unity with people who think there are more than two genders? Insofar as we can, we're all Americans. But let me talk to you about this. Without all the hatred and the vitriol that accompanies these type of things, it wasn't always that way. There was always a devil, and he was always trying to divide us. Civil War. We've always had different views on things. A lot of countries do. A lot of countries have political parties, but when they're at war, they close ranks. You know, the Church of America, we're criticized for, we have our firing squads in circles, and we get criticized for that. We're always there's newsletters and things go out where we're taking shots at other real Christians all the time. We have an enemy, Satan, and we're wrestling not against flesh and blood. And maybe you feel called to say, this isn't really a good ministry. They're teaching XYZ here, and it's really not good. And maybe there's a place for that. I'm not saying there's not, but there's envying and strife in America, and there is confusion and every evil work. Why? Wisdom's being assaulted. That's why. But the wisdom that is from above that God gives is first pure. It's not sinful. Then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. Reasonable. Are you reasonable? Can your spouse talk to you and you give him a reasonable answer? Every time we talk to you, it's like a grenade with the pin pulled. We're all walking on thin ice waiting for you to go off. And I get a word, lighten up. Have you been this guy? Are you this guy? I don't know if that pertains to anybody here or not. But I want to be, I'm just thinking of the time, like we got a car, we got a Honda Fit, and she backed it up into something. There was a little crease on the bumper, and it was parked out here. And somebody said, hey, what happened to your new car? And I'm thinking, what? Oh, my goodness, probably someone hit us, probably a hit and run. I don't know. I don't know anything about this. And she said to me, I did that. I backed into a, I said, and she's all like thinking I'm going to blow up and start yelling and hollering. She did. She was all like, oh, kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. When did I get this reputation? I said to her, yeah, so why didn't you tell me? And she goes, oh, I thought you'd be angry. Over a dent on a bumper? Me? Now, I'm going to collect cars. You know, if I had cars that are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars and I had somebody who maintained them and I drove them in parades, maybe I'd be a little bummed out. But I'm not that. If I had huge money, I'm talking stupid money, like billions and billions, I wouldn't. You know what I'd drive? I'd drive a 1980 Jeep truck, I'll bet. You say, not really. No, really. I've just never been that way. You can drive in with the biggest, baddest, nicest, oldest. My lust meter's not even going to, nothing. I say, oh, that's nice. Because I go looking in parades at an old, nice car. I like that. But I don't want to own one. It's kind of weird. I don't want to worry about where I park and if somebody puts a ding on the road. It's not that person. And I like to think that I'm easy to talk to and I'm reasonable and I'm not like, oh, everyone's waiting for the other shoe to drop. Adam's going to go off like he normally does. And this is what he's saying. This wisdom, it's pure and it's peaceable and it's gentle. Hey, when we ask God for wisdom, what does he say? Yeah. Sure. One caveat, don't doubt, right? I'm like, okay, Lord, that's reasonable. But I want to know something. I don't understand this. Can you help me out? Sure. Let me explain it to you, son. And then someone comes into my life and we're eating at breakfast and you're talking, you don't even know, but you're speaking what I need to know. The rhema, that specific word for the situation that I need. Has that ever happened to you? Of course it happens. It's one of the mechanisms God uses, fellowship. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy, this wisdom. And it's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I don't want to be a wise guy. I want to be a wise man. I don't want to have partiality. I don't want to have hypocrisy. People have accused me of hypocrisy. They've been right sometimes. That's the rub, right? It's when somebody says something, oh, you're a hypocrite, and they point out to you, and you're thinking like, I got to eat that one. Yeah, you're right. Ouch. I don't want to be that. I want to be known as a hypocrite. I don't want partiality. I want to play favorites. Why? God doesn't play favorites. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. What does that mean? The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. Peacemakers, back to the Sermon on the Mount. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. And that peace, it's the ones who make peace, the ones who know peace, the ones who, it's like, I'm just thinking, Micah 6:8, right? He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee? But to do justly. Okay. Yeah, I want to do justly. And to love mercy. Why? Why would I love mercy? One, I've imbibed of the mercy of God, have I not? I've drank that cup down to its dregs. I've used it up. There's more to be had, But I know about God's mercy. I want to tell you something I'm an expert in, God's mercy. I know about God's mercy. And what does that mean? It means that I have to be merciful to everybody else. Oh, God's mercy is good enough for me. You? Well, that's a different question. Now, I don't know if it will extend God's mercy to you. I like it. Thank you very much, Lord. But you? Well, no. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. We know this all through Scripture. Well, I've drunk that cup to the dregs. So what does that mean? You'd be surprised how merciful I could be. I mean, you'd be surprised. Why? I know a little bit about this. I know how merciful God's been to me. You think I'm not paying attention to that? Well, this is kind of the same thing. You know, blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. Well, the wisdom that's from above is peaceable. It's gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy. You're thinking, I want this, I want this. Oh, you still got it. You still got it. If I got it, if I got some of it, if I've tasted of this at all, right? And I have. And God's not impartial. He's no respecter of persons. It's available to all of us. I have to say that. How do we get this wisdom? Fear the Lord's beginning of wisdom. Read Scripture, grow in wisdom. Now, I just want to say one quick thing. We're going to be done a couple minutes early. That's unthinkable. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom in this. America, we know some stuff. That phone in your pocket has got more computing power than what the astronauts of Apollo 11 went to the moon with. We know some stuff. The problem is we know more than we have wisdom to it. We made an atom bomb. Or we have the wisdom to use it judiciously. Well, that's questionable. You know what a wonderful thing money would, if we had a cashless society, you know how wonderful that would be? Listen to me. It would be if we weren't evil. It would be if we weren't evil. Money laundering, gone. Prostitution, gone. Kidnapping, gone. You just think of what a cashless society would do. But we're evil. We don't have enough wisdom. We just find different ways to sin. Transhumanism, bad altogether. Gender-affirming care. We have the knowledge to change. No, we don't really. We have the knowledge to mutilate children is what we have the knowledge to do. Do we have the wisdom to refrain from doing it? We know a lot of stuff, and knowledge isn't a bad thing. I'm not saying that your phone is bad. Now, people will take it and people will use it for pornography. That's bad. But the phone it's neutral. You will use it, and you will carry your Bible on it, and you'll have Bible helps and notes. You'll learn many, many things. It's wonderful. You can look up answers. You can find out stuff. If you have the wisdom to use it correctly. Knowledge, don't run from it. So we're talking about AI yesterday. Suze is opposed to AI. We don't have the wisdom to use it correctly. That's the problem, and it really is the problem. Knowing stuff and learning stuff and coming to new frontiers. I'm glad medicine. Listen, in the 1800s, probably all the way up to 1900, pneumonia was the death sentence. You know anyone who's dying of pneumonia these days? It's not pleasant. Well, but we have this thing called walking pneumonia. People used to, you know, the lungs used to fill up and you can almost, oh, they got a few hours left and they're going to die horribly, gasping for air. It's not a thing anymore. Why? Knowledge. Medical knowledge, it can be a good thing. Can be. We use it to, like say, mutilate children, not so good, right? There's knowledge and there's wisdom. Lord, give us the wisdom to know the difference.